Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, pull up a stool, Dan.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm mumbling, bumbling, and stumbling. We tried to do a show tonight, which we're going to do now, but I keep saying we tried because it was to the point where we almost weren't going to. So I need double shots and double beers tonight for this. We're going to be doing the Big River Brewing Company, and it's a perfect title for a perfect show tonight. Wouldn't you say, Dan?
Yeah, I would. Maybe it's because it's just you and I tonight. We're not used to recording without a large group of people.
Exactly. The recorder didn't want to record just the two of us. It missed Bob and John for some reason.
That's got to be it.
Yeah, it has to be something. But just so you guys are in on the inside joke, I had to reset all the Skype. I had to reset all my Skype recorder. It's just been a total mumbo jumbo. It's been 40 minutes. We thought we were getting done early, and it's been almost an hour of trying to record a show that's going to take less than an hour.
Right. But through the magic of podcasting, the listeners will know none of it, only in that they're going to have an awesome show from WDW Main Street.
Absolutely. And I was all happy, dude. I called you up. I posted pictures of Flame Tree Barbecue at home to make me give me my little Disney fix, because I told you I bought the rubs and the barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
I was all excited. So we had off today for Election Day. So I had my normal work, my own work. I did some things.
Right.
But I figured I'd surprise my wife. I made cheddar mashed potatoes, homemade. I made spare ribs on the grill with the rub. And I made barbecued chicken with the rub. And sweet corn and southern style biscuits. Now tell me, and I bought her roses. Now tell me, I'm not a good husband.
No, I wish I was married to you if you would cook like that for me.
But you know, I had a day off. I got done early. I got done around 1 o'clock. So I figured, let me make the ladies a nice meal. You know, and I'll tell you what, Dan, it came out phenomenal. We're gonna have leftovers tomorrow, so I'm a happy kid.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome, and the pictures on Twitter looked awesome too. And I was gonna ask you now, was that a dry rub or was it a sauce or both, or what's the deal with that stuff you purchased down at the Animal Kingdom?
It was both. I bought the rub and the sauce.
Yeah.
And what I did is a little trick. What I like to do is, for the chicken, I rubbed on Jack Daniel's Honey Dijon mustard on the skin,
mm-hmm.
and then I sprinkle the rub on top of that. And what that does is it lets the rub stick better.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right now, it's got a good surface to really adhere to the chicken and work, do its magic and work its way in. Right.
Yeah, because if you just dump it on dry, it don't stick right.
Right.
You rub it in, and there's nothing for it to stick to. So I put the Jack Daniel's Honey Dijon on the chicken breast and then put the rub on. And then on the ribs, I put the golden spicy mustard.
Yep.
I rubbed the ribs down with that because the spicy mustard even helps tenderize them.
Nice.
And then I put the rub on top of that. And what I did is I put them on the grill. I char them for like 15, 20 minutes to get a little char on them. Mm-hmm. And then I take them out and put them in the container and put it to the top of the grill. And then I turn three of the burners off, so the grill runs at like 250, and I let them cook for like 3 hours at 250.
Yeah, that sounds good. So just like slow cook them and let it tenderize very slowly, and you're not burning the heck out of the outside that way, right?
Absolutely. And then the little tin I cooked them in, a little tip is every 20 minutes or half hour, I go out and I pour a tiny bit of water in there. Just to keep the bottom of the tin from burning it, but it also steams them.
Nice.
It keeps them moist. And then when I threw the chicken on with like 40 minutes to go, half hour to go, because I don't like to over fast cook the chicken either. So I put them on for like 40 minutes.
Right.
And then I barbecue. So I did the same thing with the chicken. But then at the end with like 15, 20 minutes to go is when I put the barbecue sauce on and let that glaze all on top so it don't burn out. Dude, it was good. I was proud of myself. I was ready to go apply it to Flame Tree Barbecue after I was done.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wish you'd open up one of the little places down there in Harambe Market. It seems like they need some help down there. I know we were talking a little bit today about the offerings in the market. We both ate there at separate times during our week down there. And, yeah, the food, in my opinion, is a little much to be desired. So they could use some good stuff like you just cooked tonight down there.
Yeah, maybe they need to just go over and steal a couple of the chefs from the Flame Tree and bring them over there.
Yes, that would be a step in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I just don't think they have enough choices there. I love the whole atmosphere. My godson loved the gyro, but me and you both had that
corn dog sausage or whatever it is.
Whatever it was, I just called it a dry piece of meat. It was like eating bread. I mean, the sausage had it had no flavor. I could have been tofu, and I wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah, yeah, it was very underwhelming, and it's a little disappointing because that Harambe Marketplace is beautiful, and you know the sign out front, and then when you look at it, it's got all these unique openings or windows, I'd call them, where you would think you'd get different offerings at each window. And as we both learned in eating there this past trip, that they pretty much all serve the same thing with the exception of maybe one window. And, you know, it's all the same. So they have, these distinct windows. And, you know, they got little clever names to them, and it's all you know, it all looks like it should be there. It's been there for 20, 30 years or whatever. And the same food comes out of each window. So how did they figure that? I don't get it.
No, I don't either. The whole area is beautiful. It's nice. I got there at like 10:45. So we were early and I was casing the joint out, taking a bunch of pictures. And I was excited about it because I didn't get to eat there on my last trip. And I was all excited. And like you said, there's nothing. There's not much there to, I mean, there's not, I would think there would be like 10, 15 different offerings,
right.
And there what, four, maybe five?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very limited menu, and like I said, not having eaten there and just seeing pictures. I mean, I walked through there on my last trip, but I never really, I didn't eat there, so I never got in line to understand how it worked, and yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of like kind of a similar story, not to get into news. I don't know if you heard, though, over at where Sunny Eclipse is, they're going to start offering all this food at all the bays. So you know how they have it set up where you get your nuggets at one bay and your burgers at another bay? I guess they've made the decision to offer all the food items at any bay. So that's a change, and that's kind of the strategy they took at Harambe Marketplace, where they offer all the food items at all the, you know, windows, I guess, not bays. But, I don't particularly like that, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, well, we are going to be doing Big River Brewing Company, and you drug me into Harambe Market now.
I know you don't mind going to Animal Kingdom, so I knew you'd
talk
to me.
No, but so we might as well do a quick little review of this, because it's going to be a bad review for the most part.
Right.
But they got the all-natural grilled chicken skewers.
Yeah.
All beef gyro flatbread, a grilled vegetable stack, the tikka masala chicken,
yep.
The beef and pork sausage, which I didn't take I didn't taste beef or pork.
No.
And then the spice rubbed karabi ribs, which really look good. We should have probably got them. We didn't get them. But me and you both got the sausage, and we thought it was horrible. It's a fried and curry corn batter and served with green papaya salt and black-eyed pea salad. Dude, I didn't hate it. I didn't like it. It was just there. It was like food. It was what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking today for a little bit on the phone, and, you know, I was kind of mad in that I used my appetite for lunch that day to eat there. And, you know, once it's down, it's pretty much, you know, unless you're ill or something, it ain't coming back. So, you know, it's not like you could just move on and eat something else, at least not in the immediate future. So, yeah, we burned a lunch you know, that dining opportunity there to try it. And you know, I'm glad we did, because that was, you know, wasn't on my hit list, but it worked out that we wanted to do quick service.
It was
service.
Something new.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, and that's what we're all about with the show. I mean, as little as everybody else knows around us, in the back of our minds, we're like, this is another...
another show.
More information that we could give our friends. You
right.
know, that's the way we look at it. And
yep.
we were both the same way. We both said it, and it was like we were mind readers. We could have both ate at Tiffin's.
Right, right. There were so many other things we could have tried, and, you know.
You could have gone to the Yak and Yeti because you haven't eaten there this trip. You
yep.
didn't eat there this past trip. And
yep.
I had already did, and I'd have rather ate there again than... Dude, I'll never go back here unless they change it up.
I mean,
not with Flame Tree and Tusker House and even I've never had a bad meal at the Rainforest. I mean, I'll never eat. The market's beautiful. I might sit down and have a drink there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they did have a couple of different beers there that somebody in my party got one of them, I believe. I don't recall which one it was. But, yeah, I mean, I said this to you today. I'll be shocked if they don't either add to or expand that menu in the near future. I mean, what's it been open? A couple of years now? It's got to be maybe 2 years, not more than 2 years. But
no, it's not more than, but yeah. right about.
I mean, I've never heard a review of it. I mean, I've heard people go through it. And again, I would say it's beautiful. I mean, for
yeah,
what
it's
it
is. Cool. Yeah. I love it.
I mean, way in the back. I don't know, Doug, if you walk way down in the back where they have like all the pots and pans out on the, you know, it's all, you know, it's all.
Well, dude, I'm all in because it as the train goes by.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Right. I mean, I'm happy.
Yep.
You know, it's gorgeous. And like you said, Dan, they should have more. It should be at least 10 items.
Right.
I mean, at least have a couple of the windows be different. I don't, and I know it hasn't been open 2 years because when we were down at the one trip, Mrs. G's, that was like 2 years ago, and
yep.
and there was and that wasn't open yet.
Oh, okay.
They were still working on it.
Well, that makes me feel better. If it was open 3 or 4 years, I think we'd be out of luck. That's just what it's going to be. But where it's still fairly new and they're still getting feedback, you know, maybe they'll. Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't see how people are going to repeat there. I mean, I did have a bite of my wife's. She had the gyro, too, and that was good. I got to admit, that was of everything that we had and that I tried, that was the thing that I liked the most. But again, it didn't blow me away. It was just, you know, maybe it was
it's
the
not going to make you go there. It's
right.
not going to make you go there. They're going to have to put something else.
It's,
I mean,
yeah.
And somebody needs to tell me that the ribs are phenomenal. And I just talked about how great, I mean, we enjoyed the ribs tonight and all. But ribs aren't something I eat all the time either.
Right, you might do them once a trip or something like that. And
or me, once a year, twice a year. I don't do a lot of ribs.
Well, and,
so,
and
I don't like to be messy, if
right.
you understand what I'm out.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, true. They're very messy. And
yeah,
and, you know, I don't know if it's the same rib. You know, stock the same meat, if you will, that the Flame Tree uses. You know, I'm going to say it isn't just because it's a unique place. But, I mean, Flame Tree Barbecue is pretty well renowned, and people rave about that place, and it's very good. So in order for them to compete with Harambe Marketplace, that's going to be tough, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm just shocked that this is the... This is all the menu is. It could be so much better. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm happy they built it. I'm not criticizing. Somebody else might love it. But it wasn't our cup of tea. And I don't see me going back there anytime soon. And like I said, I have to be in the perfect mood for ribs. And I've even told you guys how phenomenal the ribs were at Yak and Yeti. Remember
yep.
I told you?
Yep.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, who are you? When my wife ordered them. If we'd have been doing the newlywed game, right?
Right.
And they'd have said, name what your wife's going to have, and we'll give you 10 shots. I'd have named everything else on the menu
right.
before I named the ribs.
You would have got the buzzer.
you guys should get divorced. You don't know each other. But, you know, as much as I love and know my wife, when she ordered them ribs that night, I was like, holy moly, where did that come from?
Yeah. Well, I think you mentioned, and I forget now what the answer was, but I think our friend Carmen and Brian ate there over this last trip, or maybe a previous.
They went there. They didn't eat. They
oh,
hung
okay.
out and had drinks. I seen them on Periscope. They did a Periscope there, but
yep.
they didn't. They didn't eat anything.
Ah, that's too bad. I'd love to get a third opinion, and not that what we're saying is right or wrong, but I mean, you know, I'd like to get some other feedback on other people that have eaten there.
Yeah, well, my godson and my godson liked the gyro like your wife did, like Sue did, but my brother Mark felt the same thing. He thought the chicken was okay,
right?
But it was not enough,
right? Yeah, I mean, imagine if you, and kind of you did this. You're excited. You're in your favorite park or one of your favorite parks, and you have family members there, and you want to bring them somewhere for lunch, and, you know, you get something disappointing like that. Not that it's your fault, but you probably felt that you let them down in a way.
Yeah.
When you could have brought them to some other place, like you said, Yak and Yeti or whatever, and you know they would have had a phenomenal meal.
I was lucky at this point because I had already had them at Yak and Yeti the night before. So they were on my side. I had them at the Yak and Yeti and at Rose and Crown already. So they were pretty much.
You were doing it right.
Yeah, I had them done pretty well. So, and they didn't complain. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed it more than me because neither one of them got that corn dog. It was so dry, man.
Oh,
it was like
sawdust. It was like a hot dog dipped in a flavorless hot dog dipped in sawdust.
It was horrible. It was like it was making me choke.
Yeah, it was.
It was so dry.
And the ironic thing about it is, even though we were, you know, down there at the same time, and we were, you know, somewhat in on each other's day-to-day activities, keeping in touch and all, we both didn't tell each other we were going to go there. It just kind of happened spontaneously.
Absolutely. It's like we didn't have an ADR. I said, let's just walk around here and do it. And I want to try Harambe Market. I was telling him how cool it is, and let's go check this out. I haven't eaten here yet.
Yep.
And I was so bummed.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I know many, many of our listeners travel to Walt Disney World all the time. Anyone out there that's eaten there and would love to get your feedback, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook or email us or whatever, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on Harambe Marketplace, because maybe we're just crazy.
Yeah, I really don't think so. If they had that corn dog, unless they like sawdust, like you said, I don't get it. Or flavorless food. I mean, there was no flavor to it. It was the only thing that I ate the entire... I've told you this off the air. The only other thing that I ate at this park that I would say was worse than that was at Goofy's Grill in 1997. I had a hamburger that was like... I pulled up to McDonald's and got the regular hamburger without cheese. Because even the cheese on it was unedible.
Ooh.
And it was like... It was cold and set on the countertop for 3 hours before they handed it to me.
Now, that was at the old downtown Disney where Captain Jack's was, or adjacent.
Yep, right between Captain Jack's and walking to the World of Disney. There was like an outside kiosk.
Okay.
And I'd already had a big breakfast, and I was burning calories like a fool. Me and her went down early in the after breakfast to go down to downtown Disney for a little bit to roam around. It was like 11 o'clock, and I was starving.
Yep.
So it isn't even like it was late in the day.
Right.
I mean, it was like it just opened, and this thing was horrible. So I would say this might have taken the place of that. This is supposed to be a nicer place than Goofy's Grill.
Well, yeah, and, you know, with the nighttime spectacular coming, the Rivers of Light and all that, I mean, they need more food locations there. And, you know, there's going to be tons of people eating at the Animal Kingdom in the very near future. And, you know, to me, they're going to have to do something, because if 9 out of 10 people have the same opinion of us, this place is going to get trashed. And again, I want to love it. We love the Animal Kingdom and we love Disney, so we don't take any pride in, being hard on this particular quick service location, but we think they can do much better and hope that they do.
Yeah, it could be a phenomenal place. It could be an awesome place to hang out because I like the atmosphere there. It's a beautiful little area. I like sitting outside at the Animal Kingdom. It don't bother me, but the food has to get better.
Yep, agreed. And to your point, where you got your rub and your barbecue sauce there, they got a beautiful store right across the street where you can get all kind of kitchen items and cookbooks and different things. And it's a beautiful, retail store right there. And it's got a lot going for it. It's location near the, on the way to the train, the conservation station and all that. So, I mean, you know, it should be better given all that we just said about it. The food is letting it down, and that's a shame.
Yeah, they should send the chef over there and tell him to read some of those cookbooks and change some of the menu out. Get rid of that flavorless corn dog. corn sausage, whatever the heck it was. I don't even know if you could, I don't know if it was meat or not. I have no clue what that thing was. I really don't. I thought I had a cold or something after I ate it because I had no taste.
Yeah,
and it, I had to go grab something else to check my taste buds.
And it, you know, obviously, if, you know, like a corn dog, it comes on a stick, and you know, the sauce, it's not straight like a hot dog would be, so it's kind of a weird looking thing to begin with.
Oh, I don't even want to get into it. It looks like something that belongs in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
It really does.
And we'll leave it at that.
Exactly. But anyway, let's move on. Right. So let's head over to Big River Brewing Company.
Ah, so why did we end up there?
Because you couldn't get along at Epcot, so we had to leave before you got in trouble with somebody.
Yeah. No, Doug, I know, Doug, you shared this on, I think, our Sunday news show, but we would doing the Epcot thing, or we had met up at Epcot late on Saturday, not late at night, but late in the afternoon, early evening, and Epcot, you know, we always give this advice, and, you know, we were our own worst enemies in this case. We always say, stay away from Epcot and food and wine on the weekends, because it's a zoo. Well, it wasn't that bad when we got there initially. I don't know, maybe, what, it was 5 o'clock, maybe, I'd say, in and around there.
Yeah, because I got the when you showed up, I met you out front by the monorails.
Correct.
And we walked back, and we hooked up with Peas and Carrots, you know, Carmen and Brian, and John and John and Lisa,
yeah.
And then we all hung out together. But before that, before you got there, it wasn't too bad because I got there around 10 in the morning, and I met up with, and then we ate breakfast at and we'll give a thing on that on Captain's Grill because we can all talk about that.
Right.
But I had a big breakfast, and then I met over about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I guess it was, with John and them after we had breakfast and all. So we hung out. I hung out with our buddy Dave Koch and the Mickey Dudes, and we roamed around, and it was already starting to get a little crowded, but it was doable.
Right, right.
You know, I was watching this guy run around in a Peter Pan costume, which I don't know how they let him in.
Yeah.
Which I have no clue. I thought that wasn't allowed, and he was loving it. And then they had another lady that was – she had the Mona Lisa frame around her head. I mean, these guys were getting whacked out. But I seen it starting to – when I noticed them, I seen it starting a wave of knuckleheads coming to the park. And then we hung out. We watched a little music. We went back and hung out with all our friends and all. We had some offerings. We tried the hummus fries and everything together, had a few drinks, and went back and sat at the American Pavilion. You guys went over to see In Living Color, right?
Yeah. We saw a couple of songs. That was one of Carmen's. She said it was when she was in college. It was one of her favorite bands. So she and Brian and I, and I think that was it, just walked across the American Pavilion and sat in the back and watched a couple of songs by him or them, however you want to say that.
And then by the time that was over, everybody was getting tired, ready to leave. Me and you were going to hang out and go to Spice Road Tables to get our awesome spicy garlic shrimp.
Correct.
And then more and more morons showed up. And everybody, and we said on the last show, everybody knows me, that I'm a knucklehead. I don't start anything, but I have to be the idiot police, so I just got to get out there.
And there was plenty of idiots around. Yeah, it was one of those things, and I'm sure our listeners have experienced this, where, you know, it's a mixture of people, but, you know, in my mind, you got to remember, first of all, you're at Walt Disney World. Yes, you're in the quote-unquote adult park, and yes, there's drinking, and, you know, people can do that responsibly, but what we started to see is the early evening and the sunset and it got dark in and around that time is you had groups of, you know, I'm going to say younger people, you know, kind of yelling at each other and running around and kind of playing grab, you know what, you know, and yeah. It just, in my view, it's not appropriate for a theme park when there's children and, you know, people around looking to have a good time. And that's when I noticed, without you saying anything, we both came to the conclusion that we should maybe forgo Spice Road and find a quieter place on property to grab a bite to eat, because we only had the spicy garlic fries, and you were actually pretty hungry by that point.
Yeah, because that's all I had. I only snacked a little bit. I had the big breakfast, but I only had, like, the hummus fries and one other thing, I think, all afternoon. So I was like, you know, I burn calories. I'm a little guy that burns calories. But anyway, then I also seen some knuckleheads. I seen one group of 40-pluses that were all hammered on the edge, you know, where the seats are along the – You know how they have tables and stuff along the lagoon
Yep,
there?
yeah, on the railings,
I
right?
seen them screaming. I seen a husband and wife fighting with each other over there, and I said, "We gotta get out of here, man." Because I wasn't the first one. I seen three or four different couples
Right.
getting into it down there. It was like, "Oh my God, stop the alcohol, please!" And I'm not a prude.
No, you were having a couple of beers too, but you weren't running around like a crazy man.
No, I don't like that. I mean, it's to the point where there's kids still there, people, you know, and elderly people. Show a little respect, and I'm the one that'll yell at them. So we all decided to, me and you decided to leave, which was nice because it was nice time for me and you just to catch up with each other.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, as did I. And you know, to your point, even without the you know the rowdy people or whatever, I mean, it's food and wine people. It's very loud, and you know, depending on what pavilion you're walking by, you know, obviously there's music or bands playing. It's not too conducive to having a normal conversation like we were, you know, wanting to do before Illuminations went off. So basically we made the decision to, you know, Illuminations, although it would have been awesome to see it together if we were able to snag that table at Spice Road, it didn't work out, and we opted to, like you were saying, to find an alternate location to kind of just grab some dinner and chat for a while.
Yeah, we decided to go over to the Boardwalk area. We originally went... We left it. We could have had a table at Spice Road. There was room left there. We could have got it, but we decided better on the it would be better to leave. But we went over to the Boardwalk area, which the Crescent Lake area, there's always a place to eat.
Right.
There's always something to do. And it was very festive over there, but it wasn't overcrowded. It was nice to be able to walk and stretch your arms and your legs and not be banging into somebody every 5 seconds.
Right.
And we went to the Abracadabra Lounge first.
Yep.
And we kind of knew there was nothing there, but we wanted to see anyway. And I liked the – it was a very neat-looking place. But I think they have to figure out – they have to give some kind of menu to the place. I just don't see it being a drinking place, period. I don't like that. I mean, even if there's little kind of hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of just blew in there. We were, you know, we just took the short walk over the, you know, out International Gateway and over the bridge. And, you know, we wanted to see it. And by the way it looked to me anyways, and again, we just walked in, and one of the waitresses, I think I asked, you know, do you have a, you know, do you serve food? And right away, nope, just drinks. I will say that most of the tables were full when we went in. Wouldn't you say that, Doug?
Yeah.
It was fairly full.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for my own personal, for me, I for some reason, I like to be able to grab something if I want it.
Right.
I'm not going to sit there and have five beers without something to eat.
Right. Even if it's just
too,
bar food or little chicken fingers, anything, you know?
Anything, just to have something in me, because I don't like to feel... I like having a few beers, but I don't like to be... I don't want to get hammered, you know? I want to make it... I just don't feel right if I'm sitting in a place where there's nothing but alcohol.
Right, right.
For a long period of time.
That's understandable. And you know, and I don't know how this runs, and, you know, we'll have to get back there at some point. I mean, I know they were going to have, like, certain things going on, like over at the bar Trader Sam's over at Pauly, but there didn't seem to be anything going on. But again, in fairness, we were probably in there all of 30 seconds, maybe a minute.
Yeah. No, yeah, we just wanted to get the feel of it.
Right.
It was a nice place. I wouldn't mind having one and then leave, but I just couldn't see me hanging there
right.
all night.
Well,
like the Laguna Bar and over at Muddy Rivers and stuff like that, usually we drink there. It's the end of the night.
Yeah.
You're going to have a nightcap, a beer or two, and go to bed. I'm not the guy that's going to – and teach his own. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. It's just me.
Yep.
I ain't going to spend all day somewhere where I can't get something to eat,
right.
is what my
yeah,
point
Yeah, at least
is.
You can get up.
Like, even a Laguna Bar, you can order a burger and stuff.
Right, you can order a burger, and you can get up and go inside and get something from Pepper Market. I mean, you're not
exactly.
just in the bar to sit there. I mean, you have other things at your disposal that you could do, or, you know, if you just want to get up and walk around just to stretch your legs. I mean, it's a lot different than, like you said, just sitting at a bar and drinking for the day or the night or whatever.
And it's me. I'm probably just being harsh. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It's cool. I guess if you're staying at the Boardwalk, you pop in and out, have beer, walk around the Boardwalk, come back in. I guess it fits the
yeah.
area. I don't want to be totally critical. It just wasn't for us that night. Let me put it that way. I don't want to say anything bad
right.
about it because Anything new is good to me.
Right, and like so, you know, like we said at the beginning, it wasn't like we had already eaten dinner and we were looking for some place to just go have a few beers. I mean, literally, we were looking to eat somewhere because we were both, it was ready for dinner by that time.
Yeah, because it was like 8 o'clock now. We haven't eaten yet. Yep. Eaten yet. Listen to me with the gooder English around here.
I knew it.
So me and you headed over to Big River Brewing Company, which neither one of us has been in years.
Yeah,
and last time it cost you a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, it cost me, $18,572.
and 66 cents.
Yeah, if those that may not have heard, that's just when we had purchased DBC years ago. We had kind of the same thing spontaneously. We ate at Big River, and we ended up going into the preview center, which it was next door and still is next door. To the Big River, and ended up purchasing DBC. So that's why I always say that Big River's prices are outrageous, because they're $18,000 worth, at least to me. But
I think you got a pretty good deal now with all the family experience. It's priceless.
Absolutely.
So we decided to go over there. We went there. We had no ADR, no nothing. It was pretty festive there, but we didn't know how long it would take. But literally, we requested an outside table, which I strongly suggest if you're there, because that's the beauty of the place, to be outside, and you insisted on it, which was, I wholly agree with you, because some of the bad reviews that I've read on some of the pages is it's noisy inside,
right,
and it's crowded, like it's tight inside.
Yep.
So we ate outside. We were all the way off to the side, which was awesome. We had a beautiful table. We had a really sweet waitress. And I enjoyed it. The atmosphere is beautiful. I mean, watching the Friendship boats cruise in and out, I don't make it get much better than that, does it, Dan?
No. We're right on the boardwalk there. If you're looking at the restaurant, we were on the table in the far right, in towards the building. Just to back up a little bit, as I recall, when we first got there, there was no maitre d' or nobody at the podium. It was kind of an awkward thing. Like, we were there, and I think we had to walk in to try to find somebody.
Yeah, we did.
And there was two other couples. There was a man and woman and at least one other couple. And we were all vying at the time. We didn't know, but there was only that one outside table. And as it worked out, even though I think we were there first, they ended up taking the other couple, and they scored one of the tables. I don't know how it worked out, but a couple of other outdoor tables opened up in succession, so it worked out for us that we were able to eat outside. And to your point, I think she gave you the pager, and we walked across the boardwalk to the railing to, you know, look into Crescent Lake, and I think we sat down, and it rang almost immediately, and we got up, and we were seated.
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to sit.
Right.
You plopped down, and I looked at you, next thing I know, it was ring-a-ding-ding. Yep. Let's go eat. And we got a nice table. I really enjoyed it was a little messed up. Yeah, they got to do something about that. We were freaked out. I mean, we're like, who we talk to here?
Exactly.
It's like lost. Yep. But we finally sat down. It was a very nice table. Dude, again, I know we said this on other shows, and we're probably going to say it every time we talk about it. The weather was phenomenal.
Oh.
I never had better weather down there.
Yeah,
ever.
I saw Carmen tweeting even today. She was raving about the weather last week or the week that we were there. I mean, you know, again, you hear people say it's like, yeah, they just want to brag about their vacation, how good it was. I mean, literally during the day, it was warm or hot enough even where, you know, you're fine with shorts and a short sleeve shirt. And at night, it cooled off enough where you needed a little coat or maybe a sweatshirt, depending on, you know, how your body temperature is. But you couldn't ask for better weather. And in Florida, to say it was not humid, which you don't get to say that very often, that was definitely true. It got hot during the day, but it wasn't that humid Florida hot. It was just warm.
No, my brother-in-law wore pants a couple days because they knew they were staying at the parks all day, so he wanted to have pants tonight.
Yeah, and that was he was wise in doing that, because you would be a little chilly just in a t-shirt and shorts at night.
Yeah, so he was like, I'm just going to wear my pants because it's only going up to 81, no humidity. It's like, it's not a big deal.
Right.
And especially 85% of the time you're inside.
Yeah, exactly.
With rides and stuff like that, and I don't know. It was just phenomenal. The breeze, it was a beautiful breeze that night.
Yep.
And we sat down. You decided you couldn't drink because you were on your little bit of medication.
Right. So I wasn't partaking with alcohol, but I had my Coke. And what kind of beer did you get? I don't even remember.
Oh, thanks for not remembering what I got, buddy. Like, next time we go out, you could be, you know, if you'd remember, you could order for me, Dan, if you really care.
I know it wasn't a fin de mon, that I know.
No, never. Oh, I ended up getting the Southern Flyer, Light Lager.
Okay,
remember?
Yeah, it was the lightest one on the menu. I do remember now.
And it was very, very good. I enjoyed it very, very much. They have a Gadzook Pilsner, which John would probably like, a Rocket Red Ale, a Steamboat Pale Ale, a Summer Wheat, no thank you, and a Sweet Magnolia American Brown Ale, which is a winter, it's winter and seasonal. But I'll tell you what, the Southern Flyer was very, very good, and it was very nice. When we got back to Laguna Bar, I finished it off with two more Bud Lights. It all fit into the family very, very
yep.
well.
No, you did a good job matching up your beer there. And like you said, that, you know, and she did explain a little bit when you asked her. You said you didn't like heavy beer, and I believe that's the one that she recommended, and it turned out that you enjoyed it.
I had a nice Canadian Molson tonight as we were recording the show. Just one. It's 5% alcohol. I'm good with
yep.
that. It ain't like it's 4.1, a Coors Light or whatever. These were 5%. It's perfect for
yeah.
me. You know, good stuff. So we sat down. Neither one of us wanted an appetizer, but to go over some of the appetizers, they got a jalapeno spinach cheese dip, Asiago artichoke and crab dip, a guacamole and chips, chicken quesadillas, and then brewery nachos, which there's some different offerings there.
Yeah.
And like the jalapeno spinach dip is $10.50, the Asiago artichokes is $12.75, the guacamole is $9.50, and the quesadillas are $11.50, and the brewery nachos are $13.99. I mean, the appetizers cost almost as much as the entree we got.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, as it turned out, and we'll reveal that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, it was a large menu. As soon as I knew we were eating there, I knew what I was getting. I didn't need a menu, but I know you did him and her over a couple of two or three offerings that you considered strongly. What was your rationale there? Yeah, I know you were looking at some fish items, I believe.
Absolutely, because I love eating fish as much as possible. I try to stay away from beef and meat and, you know, as much as I can.
Yep.
I try to be a good boy so my baby still loves me. But, no, and I looked at some things, like the entrees. They have chicken Alfredo, a shrimp and scallops, penny pasta, signature ribeye, New York strip, and rocket red ribs. And I didn't consider any of them. And then they also have the Atlantic salmon. They have a New York strip combo, New York strip
shrimp.
And shrimp
yep.
combo, I mean, combo. And then they got the hazelnut crusted chicken. Now, I was going to get the Atlantic salmon. And then the last one that I didn't mention is a flame-grilled meatloaf, which you remembered and you reminded me of, is that's what everybody brags about here. That's the go-to dish.
Yeah, I had had the meatloaf back whenever we bought DBC. I think it was 2008. When we ate there, and again, I didn't do it on a recommendation. I just did it on a whim, and I remember you and I discussing it, and you probably still will hold the same opinion. You haven't never ate there. I think I said I liked it even better than not Mama Melrose's.
50
right, times. Right. And you came to the conclusion that they're equally good because they're different enough where they're good in their own way, where you wouldn't rank one over the other. But anyways, I remember the meatloaf being very, very, very good. So I knew I was going to get a second stab at that when we were there this past week.
Yeah, see, and then me, I was going with the salmon. And then I also was looking at I'll give the sandwiches out. They got a Blue Ridge pork sandwich. A black and mahi-mahi sandwich, the pork sandwich.
Weren't you thinking yeah. about the mahi-mahi?
I was thinking about that too, but you're thinking about the mahi-mahi I was going to have at STK Steakhouse.
Oh.
Yeah, the pork sandwich is $10.99. The mahi-mahi is $14.50. They have a grilled, a California chicken sandwich, which is $12, $11.99. A Kobe burger, which is $14.50. Roasted turkey and swish for $10.99. A big brew cheeseburger, which is $11.99, mushroom Swiss burger, $12.75, and a hickory bacon burger. So they got a bunch of offerings on this. There's something here for everybody. So I was looking at the mahi-mahi, looking at the salmon. I'm talking to our nice waitress, and she goes, get the meat up.
Yep. She basically said that's what we're known for, but I forget what she said, but
She said, you can't go wrong with the meatloaf. Yep. It's one of our best.
Yep.
That's what she would choose. And she said something else, too, which wasn't even in my wheelhouse. I wasn't even thinking about it at the time. It might have even been the Alfredo or something, but there was no way I was going with that. But at the last minute, she changed my mind. So now I understand, like, everybody's voting tonight.
Yeah. Right.
I understand tonight there's a sign up. How did they put it? No talking politics past this.
Oh,
line.
Yeah, right.
So don't convince anybody. So they need to put a sign up at the brewing company. No talking food past this line. So you don't get your mind changed at the last minute. So she ended up, and it was very, very good then. It was too much for either one of us.
Yeah. What was it, two big slabs or three?
Three.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. We each ate two. Yeah. We couldn't get through the third.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bigger eater than you are, and I couldn't even get it all down. It easily could split that meal. No problem at all.
Well, what sold me was made with ground beef and Italian pork sausage topped with rich brown gravy and served with garlic mashed potatoes. And what got me was the garlic mashed potatoes.
Yep.
Because what I was going to do is, that's the other reason why I was looking at the Atlantic salmon, because that also came with the garlic mashed potatoes.
Right.
I was sold on getting mashed potatoes when I was there. And garlic mashed potatoes are the bomb.
Even better, yeah.
So, and it was awesome. And I will tell you, I've gone back and forth on it. I would love either one of them. I probably do give the edge a little bit to the prime time, and the only reason is because I make that recipe here at home a lot.
Yep.
And it's kind of become
sentimental.
Yes, it's our meatloaf.
Yep.
Now.
Understandable.
Mom's
meatloaf. Absolutely. I mean, I think, Mom's meatloaf, as I think it's called now, or whatever. I mean,
it does have a ketchup base.
Right, and it is, as I remember, my mom and grandma making, meatloaf when I was a kid. So I can see why, at least mentally, you would gravitate towards that, because it's like comfort, It brings back your childhood memories, where I think the meatloaf at the Big River it's a little spicier. It's obviously there's more going on there, more pizzazz, but it's good in a different way. Maybe not better, like I said, but it's delicious, without a doubt.
Absolutely. They're both phenomenal. What's good about them, like we both said, they both have different bases. One's a brown gravy base. The other one's a red base, the ketchup base and that. But they're both phenomenal. I would go back here again. It would be a really nice place. You get outside to have, you're having a meeting with friends, you're having a meetup down there. It's a nice place where you could sit outside and talk, and you could have a couple drinks after dinner. I don't see them pushing you out of the way, because it is a brewing company, so I'm sure they want you to drink a little bit there.
Yeah,
too.
I mean,
we didn't,
I probably remember I told the story when I did the dining review and we ate there last time. That little one-man band, the guy in the big tricycle that has the little music box there, the night when my wife and I were there, we had a table not where we did, but we were out I guess it would be right where we were. But he pulled right up and played a half a song right next to us, and not enough to embarrass or nothing, but he cruises around. You've seen him, right? He cruises around the...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And, that was nice, because we had finished dinner, and I think my wife was having a cup of coffee, and, we were just enjoying the ambiance of the boardwalk, and you can easily carry on a conversation there, like you were saying, and if you did get an after-dinner drink or whatever, it would be an awesome place to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would give it, if I was rating it a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, for what it is. I mean, it's not going to, you're not going to say it's as good as Flying Fish or Gico or California. Of course not. It's not fine dining, but maybe it's a step above the sports place down the end there.
Yes,
yeah. Maybe wouldn't you say a notch, maybe above that type food, maybe?
And I would probably put it on scale with that, because if you listen to Bob and them, they love that place.
Right. Yeah, and I do too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, but it's better than going to the food court. I'd put it that way. It's eating out.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. But, I mean, maybe it's something in line with,
it's probably close to diner food is what I put it.
Yeah. That's in the range. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but I would go there again. I wouldn't say it's horrible. I mean, I wouldn't say not to is what my point is. Not horrible. But is it, Rose and Crown?
Right. I guess, how would I say it? If you were looking to eat somewhere where you didn't want to eat at the food court, like you said, but you didn't want to have a fancy sit-down meal, not even a signature meal, but, you know, like you said, Rose and Crown, or, you know, how can I say it? Like a, not a normal restaurant, but a middle-of-the-road restaurant, if that, maybe that makes sense, or something like that. It's like that in-between place is how I would put it. Like a TGI Fridays or something like that. I don't know. It might.
You can always get a decent meal there, and you could probably always get a table. It's a place to go, and it's not a bad place. Like, we're not trying to be. On my next trip, it won't be on. I gotta go there again. Right. But if me and you have the same situation, I'd have no problem sitting my butt down and eating there again.
And put it this way, Doug. I mean, like you said, it was probably around 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock ish by the time we got there. So it's a Saturday night, and we walked in. Although it was very busy, and we had potentially wait a little while, which we were willing to do if we had to. But we were still able to get a seat after a minimal wait on a Saturday night. So that tells you that, you know, if you don't have an ADR and you're in that area of the boardwalk or even the backside of Epcot and you want to get out and get away from the craziness like we did, it's not a bad option.
No, absolutely not. Again, I'm never going to make an ADR.
Right. I don't think there's any need to either.
Exactly. But it wouldn't even be on my list of thinking. But if we're all in a group of guys and we're all hanging out, or a group of couples or whatever, where the four of us are down there, me, you, Sue, and Brenda, and we're walking around, I would, and somebody said, let's eat here, I'd say, let's eat there, and I'd be happy about it.
I wouldn't hesitate for a minute, and that's a good way to put it. It's something you could do without thinking about or planning. You could just spontaneously go there, and like you said, the beautiful thing is, even if you did have a wait, you know, if they said it was going to be, you know, a half hour or something, there's plenty of,
you got the whole lake.
You got plenty to look at, and you could go down to the screen door or whatever that store is right down the way.
The screen door.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to do in that area that you'd have plenty of stuff to occupy your time till your table was ready.
Yeah, I could take 20 minutes, a half hour, just taking pictures of that area.
Yep.
That's how beautiful
it
is. Absolutely. But yeah, that's the way we'd put it. If you're roaming around and you got no, and just pull. I mean, I would never say no, but I'm never going to make an ADR.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect way to put it. And we're giving it respect, but we're not going over the top either.
No. But this was a lot of fun,
yeah,
buddy. It was fun to do a just crazy show. Our two other buddies abandoned us, but we've done a few of these on our own. I think we're okay, Dylan.
Yeah, we've done a couple, one or two anyways. And, with all the changes with the, the site and the, podcast and everything, we gave the fellas the night off for all the hard work they've been doing.
I gave Bob the night off because he allowed Flame Tree Barbecue or Tusker, what was it? Tusker House to beat Yak and Yeti.
I never saw the final result. Is that a Tusker House ended up winning?
Yeah, I was a little mad too. Yak and Yeti should have won that one. That's all I'm saying.
You didn't stuff the ballot box, Doug.
No, I put a few phone calls out there to try to get some votes in, but it just didn't work. No, I didn't campaign hard enough. But if you can, guys, head over to the official website of WDW Main Street. It's all in WDW. Head over there, check out Bob. He's writing articles left and right. He does a wonderful job. You'll get a lot of food information. If you need to know something about food, it's probably on his site. And, check out his latest polls. We're going to be running the Parks polls coming up very soon. So head on over to It's All in WDW and check out Bob, and you can find out more about our show.
Absolutely.
So, well, that's going to be it, guys. Please go check out our sponsors. We'd really appreciate it. Please head over to iTunes and leave us a review, even if it's a nasty one. We still need reviews, guys. But no, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Check us both out. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow John at Pure Solo. You can follow Bob at It's All in WDW. And everybody have a great night, and we will talk to you this weekend. Talk to you later,
Dan. Good night.
Good night. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.